Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of John. John chapter 12, we'll go in a moment. The title of our lesson tonight, We Would See Jesus. We would see Jesus. We live in a world that seeks immediate gratification. Gratification meaning enjoyment, satisfaction, pleasure, delight or fulfillment. John 6:66-67 says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And we find that they no longer wanted to follow Jesus because it's more than just being fed by him or seeing the miracles. It was actually serving him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Turned unto fables. Many in our society today would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And yet the Bible tells us, truly the truth shall make us free, though it may make us very miserable for a while. But if you would, John chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 20. John chapter 12, verse 20, familiar words. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that realize their need of a Savior. And Lord, we realize that religion doesn't save. And Lord, we realize that good works doesn't save. But Lord, to have faith and trust in a Savior, that is what is important. And that is why we need to come to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Point number one, the book of Hebrews, if you would, please, chapter one, and we'll look at verses 1-4. Jesus who purged our sins. Jesus who purged our sins. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So in these first two verses of the book of Hebrews, we find that there was the time of the prophets. But then Jesus himself came, he who had made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory. Can you imagine how it's going to be when we see Christ and in his brightness? And the express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. There is nothing we can do to get rid of our sins because we are sinful creatures and we continually sin. But he has purged our sins, and he then sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We find that when he by himself, when Jesus Christ himself did that which was necessary to save our souls, he then sat down by the Heavenly Father. When he said on the cross, it is finished, all was accomplished. and he had prepared so that all may come to know him as Savior. To purge means to cleanse or cleansing, to eliminate or elimination. You ever get one of those days where you get up in the morning and you're going to attack a certain room in your house? You're going to go to the closet, and you're going to go to the cabinets, and you're going to go to drawers, and you're going to open them out, and you're going to start taking out things that you put in there 17 years ago. And you think, why in the world do I still have those? Anybody, will you raise your hand and let me know I'm not the only one. Thank you very much. Yes. And you decide it's going to be a day of purging. And man, you start throwing out garbage bags full of stuff. You have that day. What happens if you're not careful? It gets full again, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how quickly we can collect things? But Jesus Christ died for our sins, and for us, all of them were future. When he had by himself purged our sins. I cannot forgive anybody of their sins so that it is such that God would accept it. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sins. Point number two, Jesus crowned with glory and honor. Chapter 2, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 9 down through verse 14. Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And we need to make sure that we always remember to give him the honor and praise that he is due. But verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Christ died so that all could know him as Savior. Unfortunately, the majority of mankind will not accept Christ as their Savior. Many because they know nothing of him. Others because they have been taught that you don't need him, you can do it yourself. But that's a lie. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I would declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. We find that he is the one whom we will praise. Verse 13, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death he might destroy that him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I must admit I look forward to when the devil is cast into the bottomless pit and he is no longer able to in any way tempt us. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. See, Jesus saw there was a need. You had the need, and you had the need. You that are watching, you had a need, and you couldn't take care of that need. Only Jesus Christ could do it. And he knew it would take his death to do it, and he willingly did it. King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus crowned with glory and honor. He who was perfect died for the sinner, purged our sins by his sacrificial vicarious death. Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm going to tell you this, the death on a cross was an agonizing way to die. And yet he was willing to do it because he saw what was going to come of it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despise the shame. Folks, when you were on the cross, people didn't come by and say, oh, you're a good guy. It's too bad you're up there. They hurled insults. They hurled all kinds of things. including rotten vegetables and whatnot, because you were a criminal and you were up there so all could see. And yet he did not worry about the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, who endured the cross. I'll tell you what, it's not easy to have to die for other people when you haven't sinned. And yet he was willing to do that. Number three, a merciful high priest. We find this in verse 17 of chapter 12. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To make reconciliation. In other words, to have an agreement between God the Father and the forgiven individual. The reconciliation meaning he brought harmony into a situation where there was no harmony. He brought a settlement in which God the Father said, come on in. And when we stand before the Creator, or before the Almighty God, and we will stand before him cleansed if we have accepted him as our Savior. The reconciliation was done by a merciful and faithful high priest. Number four, Jesus made a high priest forever. Chapter 6, if you would please, and beginning at verse 18. Jesus made a high priest forever. And we'll begin reading at verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Impossible for him to lie. You know, God cannot sin. Not past, not present, not future. It was impossible for him to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Folks, if we have gone to Jesus Christ to save our souls, we can hope on that and know it will be true. Verse 19, for which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Made a high priest. Jesus, our spiritual leader. He is our guide, our protector and defender. We need to stay close to him. We need his protection. May I say this, many today are looking for security in society and they will not find it. They are looking for security in the stock market, or they're looking for security in education or in health, but they will not find it. But we will find it in the anchor of our soul. Number five, Jesus made a surety. Chapter 7, verse 22. A simple, short little verse. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Surety, or an assurance. Security, protection, insurance. We can trust in Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever been to the shore and you made a sandcastle? What security is there in that sandcastle? None, right? And if it's near the ocean where the tides are, you can be sure that when the tides come in, your castle's going out. But we can have assurance that Jesus Christ will take care of us. And it's not a limited time. Now, you ever bought a car and it comes with a warranty, and as the warranty's about to expire, they start calling you on the telephone saying you need to have an extension on your warranty. Well, why don't you just give it to me? Oh, no. You know, they're only going to guarantee your car to about the point they think it's going to die. Right? They're not going to just give one endlessly. But Christ gives us a surety that is for all eternity. It is a guarantee, a promise we can count on. Some of you had elections yesterday. You ever read what the politicians write? And you wonder, do they really believe what they wrote? Do they really mean that they're going to do what they said? You know, it's good until they get elected, right? And then they forget what they promised. But Jesus has redeemed us for all eternity with his shed blood. Only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ do we have that promise of eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Thank God for the gift of salvation. Thank God for his loving grace. Number 6, a high priest consecrated. A high priest. Now, he is a high priest forever. He is merciful. He is consecrated. Chapter 7. We'll begin reading at verse 25. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Folks, you don't pray to Mary. You don't pray to Peter or Paul or to your favorite aunt. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us, and we pray to Jesus Christ. Verse 26, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." In other words, he does not have to ask for forgiveness because his life is perfect. Intercession, an act of interceding or prayer or offering up petitions in favor of another. Jesus Christ prays for us on our behalf, even as the Holy Spirit also. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. None of the Old Testament priests could declare those things. None of the New Testament priests could declare those things. Even we that are preachers today, we cannot declare these things, but Jesus Christ could. Consecrated or sanctified, he was set apart. He was the only one who could die for our sins. For God so loved the world. You know, it wasn't enough that God loved you and me. You understand that, right? It wasn't enough. He then sent Jesus for a reason. When Jesus was born, that reason was he came to die for us. He sanctified us. Number 7. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, there's some great verses in the book of Hebrews. As you read through chapter 11, you read about the heroes of the faith. You read in the book of Hebrews, there's appointed unto man what? Once to die. You read in the book of Hebrews that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We find in the book of Hebrews that the bed is undefiled between the husband and the wife. And we read in Hebrews that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But here in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we find two verses that just bless my soul, and I hope he bless yours. "Wherefore, seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Folks, there are those who have gone on before us. Gone on before us. You know, as I was sitting there on the edge of Dad's bed, and hospice has been called in to try to ease the pain that he is in. And I'm thinking to myself, Dad, do you realize how close you are to going home? And I'm wanting to say to him, Dad, will you tell Mother hello? Because, you know, there's an excitement when a believer goes home. When they go home and they meet their Maker. They meet their Savior. And we think about those who have gone on, who have been testimonies and witnesses for the cause of Christ. And may it be said of you and me that we were a testimony and a witness for our Lord. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, notice, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I have never been in a competitive race. I mean, in gym class, I do remember that we had the sprints, and I remember going over the low hurdles. And do you remember going over the low hurdles? And those were okay. It was those high hurdles. And if you were like me, the first time I tried to go over a high hurdle, I hit it right on. I mean, I hit it smack right in the middle, and it went over, and I went over, and I came up with my hands bleeding, my knees bleeding, and my gym teacher said, well, next time you'll jump higher. I thought, there isn't going to be a next time. Yeah, but some of you have been in competition. You've been in long races or maybe marathons, and you realize that there is a way to go. There is a path to follow. And to do it, I'll be honest with you, Pastor Stephen, I remember watching some people race. None of them were running with a 5-gallon jug of water. None of them were running with a time watch. None of them were running with anything. They were wearing as little as possible. Even their tent running shoes were lightweight. Because they wanted to run as fast as they could. And in our spiritual running, we must jettison those things that could slow us down. But notice verse 2. You know, our message tonight, our lesson tonight is we would see Jesus. But notice verse 2, looking unto Jesus. We find that he's the one we need to keep our eyes on. Looking unto Jesus. Notice, the author and finisher of our faith. Now we read earlier who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. But folks, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Number of years ago, my sons Brian and I went to Tennessee, and we were on our way back to Virgin Falls, and it's about a 6-mile hike back to the waterfall, which means if you get there and you've hiked 6 miles, what happens? You have to hike back what? 6 miles, okay? Yeah, Donna says it feels like 10. But the fact of the matter is we were walking. A deer went bouncing by. And Matthew and Brian got the wild idea to chase it. Is that a good thing? Why isn't it a good thing to chase a deer? Well, you won't catch it, but he takes you off the path. You know, you can get lost very easily in the woods. Very easily. And I remember thinking to myself, if I run with them, I'll lose the path. And so I stayed on the path. And you know what they finally did? They stopped chasing the deer. But then what did they have to do? They had to find me, didn't they? What if I'd gotten off the path? We'd all been in a world of hurt. Yeah. There are times, folks, like the prodigal son, we can get off the path. But isn't it good to know the Lord welcomes us back? Welcomes us back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're not going to close with an invitation, but we are going to close with the singing of 325. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. The song says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.